a Wednesday evening, gifts in the life of the church. And this is the first thing that Paul is inspired to draw our attention to after he's given this wonderful view of the gospel. It is outstanding. The first 11 chapters of Romans, the wonder and the glory of the gospel, our plight, our hopelessness, our helplessness, our wrath-deserving position. God has looked in mercy and love and grace, and in sending Jesus Christ has dealt with our sin, your sin and mine. It is a remarkable thing. We have to, surely, do you still pinch yourself at times? Do you still wonder, can it really be true? I mean, to be honest, I can wake up in the morning and think, well, who am I? Where am I? What day is it? But is this really true? Is it really true? And as the haze of dreams passes away, the wonder comes to my soul again. I believe it's a witness of the Spirit. Yes, it is true. If it was something I'd made up, I would soon let it slip. I just think this cannot be so. But he has convinced me it is true. It is too glorious to express at times. And it ought to fill our hearts with joy. And there ought to be this overflowing thankfulness in our lives. And what Paul is inspired then to say, and we looked at this last time, in view of God's mercies to us, we ought to make a presentation. And he focuses in particular, inspired by the Spirit, on presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. The Old Testament sacrifices died and were consumed. We die to ourselves, but we're alive to God in Jesus Christ. And so we are living sacrifices. And here I am a living soul. My faculties are soulish, my thinking, my desires, my communications. But my facility is a body, and I dwell in a body. And this is what the Lord can use. Take my hands. Well, there are many hymns we could have sung tonight. Take my feet, take my lips, everything, my whole being, take my money. We pour them all out to God. In the light of what he has done for us, is there anything we would withhold from him? We're here for such a short time, and then we've got forever. And it's called a rest. It's mansions of glory and endless delight. One hymn writer puts it in that way, but it's certainly biblical. And we're there forever and forever and forever. I mean, time goes so quickly here. Will we have any regrets when we come to our latest breath? Did I give him all that I could have given him? I think as we go through this series, we have to see, we have to be sensible about how much we do. It might even be coming out tonight. I can't remember. There must be some spiritual common sense about not doing too much, because I live in a body and it needs rest from time to time. And if I'm not taking the rest that I need, maybe the Lord will actually actively lay me up for a while. I know some of you have been through COVID times, have had some useful times, I think, in being able to reflect and to think and to ponder. But we ought to be willing to give all to him. This, as Paul is inspired to say here, is our reasonable service, our logical service. Is the Greek translation. And I think I read this little passage to you from Tim Keller last time. In short, once you have a good view of God's mercies, anything less than a total, complete sacrifice of yourself to God is completely irrational. If you give yourself partially or half-heartedly, you are simply not thinking. You are not looking at what Jesus did. If what Jesus did does not move or break the ice over your soul, you must ask yourself if you have ever really understood the gospel. So we looked at that last time, verses 1 and 2. There's much more that could be said there, but I want to move on to the practical application here and gifts. In the light of all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ, I need to be using my gifts. How do I know what my gifts are? Is a question we want to come on to. We'll build up towards that. But I want to make one or two points, I think 4 points actually, before we get to our particular gifts. Number one, it's quite clear that every believer has gifts. Every believer has gifts. No believer is left out of that situation. When we become Christians, what happens is that God moves by his Spirit on my dead soul, my hard heart. I was dead in transgressions and sins. And it's God who is the first mover. I make no move towards him until he has made an awesome move towards me. He does it by his Spirit. And Jesus speaks about it in John chapter 3. Nicodemus, you must be born again. And it's a work of the Spirit. The wind blows where it will. You see the effect it has. You don't know where it's come from or where it's going. And so the thrilling thing is here on a Sunday, as the preacher is preaching, and may this happen more and more, it can be part of our prayers, we utterly depend upon him, his sovereignty in salvation. And so he comes, the Holy Spirit. And there's a young person you've been praying for a long time. Maybe it's one of your children. Maybe, actually, that child is now in their 20s or 30s, and you're thinking, will they ever? Is it worth even praying? And they decide, yeah, they'll come. Maybe it's Easter or Christmas, or it's a special occasion. Mother's Day, they'll come and just to please mum or dad. And they're sat there, indifferent. And the Holy Spirit comes. And he regenerates. He gives life. He turns a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. He does it. And then amazingly, the young person or the older person there on the gallery or in the back corner over there, who had been quite indifferent, is now thinking, suddenly the preacher's saying interesting things. What's happened to the preacher? Nothing. Something's happened to you. Something's happened to you. The Spirit has given you life. And where before it was boring, now it's lively, it's interesting. It's talking about the things of God and eternity, life, death, heaven and hell. The Lord Jesus Christ seems very wonderful because suddenly you're aware of your sin. And this is a work of the Spirit. But he plants the seed of life. Now, here's the point I want to get to. In that new life, it's like a seed being planted. Now, I'm planting seeds at the moment. I've got my broad beans. They're out in the garden now. But my French beans are a little bit more delicate, and they're still on the windowsill, looking a little bit, looking out the window. They've been quite happy today looking out the window, but some nights they're sort of rubbing their leaves together. Not too content to go out yet. But the seed begins to germinate, and up comes a shoot. Now, the first gifts that God gives, and this is a gift of God, repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. Right? They're the first two gifts, and they are gifts of God. Well, I can't repent unless he regenerates me. When I was first converted in what was a charismatic Pentecostal expression, very Arminian, I felt that, I'd done very well. I've believed. It was only after reading more of the Bible and hearing good biblical preaching, I saw God was the first mover. I could only believe because of what he'd done in me. And the first gift that came out, repentance and faith. But in that seed, I believe, is everything. Everything is there. The gifts that Jesus Christ has for me. When he ascended, he gave gifts to men, women, children, young people, all of his people. And when I came to faith, in embryonic form, Everything was there. You know, it's amazing. I felt at my conversion, even the very night I was converted, I felt some sort of pull towards serving the Lord full time. I even felt I would become maybe a pastor at some point. It was in embryonic form. It took a long time. And like with my seeds that were on the windowsill and now in the garden, they're making their way up the bean poles. There's no broad beans there yet. There's no French beans. But they're going to be there because they're in the seed. And every believer has gifts. Every believer has gifts. How do we know? Well, from the analogy of the body that's given here. In Romans 12, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in Ephesians chapter 4, the analogy of the body. One body, but many parts. So the church, we're one body, Christ the head, and we are parts of his body. Some parts are obvious. A head is pretty obvious. If somebody had a head missing, I hope we'd notice. Hands are pretty obvious. You can get by without a hand. You can't get by without a head. One leg, you can hop along. But some gifts are obvious. Some parts are obvious. That in a church, some gifts are obvious and up front and seen and known by all. There's a pastor. There are elders. There are teachers. There are leaders. There are some gifts that are obvious. Other parts of the body are not that obvious, not seen. I'm thankful for my lungs. You don't see them. Kidneys, a ventricle, hemoglobin, all absolutely vital. You don't see them, but they're absolutely vital. And in the functioning of a church, every part is vital. If one part isn't functioning, well, we can get by. See, if your gift isn't being used, we sort of get by. But how much better when the whole body is moving? And there's almost a symphony and a gliding and a smoothness about it all. And to turn the pages and to pick something up and to bend down and to stand up the body, working together in harmony and unison. But then suddenly a leg decides it doesn't want to be here and it wants to go somewhere else. Or a leg says, well, I'm staying at home today. Not because it's unwell, but because it just doesn't want to bother anymore. And then the body starts to limp, and there's something clearly wrong. Every part is absolutely vital. So it's not just the upfront gifts, the pastor, the elder, the deacon, the teacher, but also the warm welcome on the door. Now, I've been through the doors quite a few times recently, well, eight Sundays, I think, coming up. It's a decent welcome. It is. I do believe some people are particularly gifted, though, at welcoming. They really are. I mean, at St. Mellon's, I went there for 21 years. And for quite a while, it was, well, this is the deacon's job. And so a big, long pathway coming up to the chapel, gates at the bottom, and on the door are these two men staring down. Well, if you're of a timid disposition, it's not the deacon's fault. Eventually, we were a little bit more progressive and had more folks involved as we saw that some people, there's one man comes to my mind in particular, what a lovely, lovely gentleman, what a welcoming smile. And he'd see somebody down the gate, oh, he'd beam and he'd beckon them in, and he just seemed to have the right gift to be able to do that. What a wonderful gift to be able to welcome, help somebody to their seat. They come in, they look a little bit lost, and somebody stands up and says, oh, are you new here? I was new once, so I've only been coming for a few weeks myself. Yes, come and sit next to me. I'll show you what is happening. A cup of tea. Well, we can all make a cup of tea. Well, actually, some can't. some can't. I've found that out. But it's the way you serve it, though, as well. And to serve that cup of tea with a cheerfulness. Somebody's not well. You bake a cake. You take it round. These are gifts. Visiting people. I see it more and more here and St. Mellon's or other churches. Saints who've run so well, now they can't get out. Maybe you're listening at home and just you desire maybe a phone call, a knock on the door. Whose job is that? Well, Keith, you do a really excellent job, I'm sure, visiting and others too. And I think Carol, and coordinating things. But whose job is it? Is it just the pastor's job? And I know the pastor does a lot of visiting. I'm finding that out in the 8 weeks. And a church this size, there's a lot of what we call emergency visiting. But whose job is it? Well, it's all our jobs, our tasks to be involved. But some of us have got a particular gift in that area. And a cheery disposition, an email, a text, so many gifts that are maybe hidden and under the surface. The analogy of the body shows we all have gifts to be used. And here in Romans chapter 12, from the scripture itself, and verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that has been given to us, let us use them. We all have gifts. Let me turn you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll read from verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Each one is given this, a manifestation, a gift of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 brings out the point again. We all have gifts. That's the point we're thinking about at the moment. Don't think, well, I don't have any. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. But to each one of us, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. There's the first point. Don't be sitting there or standing here thinking, I don't have any gifts. We all have a gift or gifts. And the second point I want to draw out from the scripture is this. Every gift that we have is not for the one who's being gifted primarily, but two things I want to make here, points I want to make. First of all, the gift is not for you or for me, but it's for the good of others in the church body. That my gift isn't primarily for me. It is for me, and I sit under my gift, but it's primarily for the good of the church body as a whole. Whatever our gift might be, it is for the common good. So back in Ephesians chapter 4, you read from verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So every part of the body is for the edification of the whole. It's not primarily for me or for you, but for the body as a whole. Earlier on in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is drawn by the Spirit to focus on these particular gifts of leadership and teaching. Verse 11 of Ephesians 4, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." To what end? "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all," no one should be left out, "come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now there's the aim. What's tonight all about? What's Sunday morning and Sunday evening all about? That we might come to this unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What's the aim? That I might be like Jesus Christ. And that in the pews in front of me and on the gallery, it might be full of imitators of Jesus Christ. We become more and more like him. That's the aim. Now, we're never going to make it this side of glory. But if we don't aim there, we must aim there. I enjoy watching darts when the World Championship comes around. I mean, I know what I should be aiming at. I know what I am aiming at on the dartboard. There's a little tiny section in the 20. It's not the double. It's this little bit called the treble. And you try and get one of these darts, or actually all three, in that little tiny section. And the professionals can do it fairly frequently. But they're aiming there. And I might think, well, I'm rubbish. I might as well not bother aiming. Just turn my back to the board and throw it over my shoulder. Actually, with me, that would be as effective. But actually, no, it's good to look and to aim. And as I look into the Word of God, and as I'm listening to preaching, I'm looking for Jesus. And what is he like? And what would he have me do? And he's exalted before me. And as I look into the Word of God and the power of the Spirit, we're transformed from glory into glory. And so the preacher isn't there to magnify his own gift. He's there to use that gift for your benefit and for my benefit. So it's for the common good. So the gifts are not for the individual, but for the common good. But also, secondly, and very importantly, for God's glory, that my gift is to be used to the glory of God. I decrease, he increases. Serving a cup of tea to the glory of God, welcoming on the door to the glory of God, baking a cake to the glory of God, making that phone call to the glory of God, welcoming people to the glory of God. Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I like that little note of thankfulness as I use my gift to give thanks to God that I have a gift and that I can use it to his glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. That's 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." Do all to the glory of God. Whatever we are doing. So, I use a personal illustration because it comes readily to hand. Whatever we do, is any gift more important? Well, I think preaching is really, really important. Is the preacher intrinsically more important than the doorkeeper? Absolutely not. All sinners saved by grace, all vessels of mercy, any gift that we might have has come from him. And whatever it is, we use it to the common good and the glory of his name. So, St. Mellon's, I was there for 21 happy years in essentially a happy church. And Sunday by Sunday, I would have the privilege of going up the steps and preaching. And I enjoyed doing that. And I trust it was always to the glory of God. Then I stepped down. And we rejoined the membership. The intention of staying there and having an itinerant ministry for myself and Jill, getting involved with the families in the church. And we were on the rotors. And I remember that just the joy of being on the door. Well, I was due to be on the door with Jill, but you called me here to preach instead, so I missed that one. But then I was on the door shortly afterwards. And just that verse came to me. Yeah, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I really would, than dwell in the tent of iniquity. Well, whatever we do. And then I had a lovely Sunday on creche. And picture it now, sitting on the floor in the creche, lots of little toddlers coming around. Andy, 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 Andy. And we played Find the Sheep. I hid it. They went to find the sheep. And we sang one or two songs. How lovely. Just thankful to be serving in whatever way we can, for the common good, to the glory of God. Now, I didn't seek this particular door opened for me to come here as assistant pastor. And it's by his kindness. I was wondering what I was going to do. Looking at the diary, it was getting filled up for this year, but this door opened. I mean, when I walked in here that Sunday in December, just that feeling of being at home, and God's hand being in it. But here I am, an assistant pastor. I've enjoyed being on the door here. I was due to be on with Math Pugh, but he'd swapped with Alistair Barker. So I thought, oh, I'd enjoy being with Alistair Barker. But he had COVID. I ended up with Kerry. But it was a good time. I enjoy welcoming people on the door. And then I was helping at Citizens Soup. Lovely. Lovely. And doing the washing up afterwards. How, just to serve. I'm just giving a picture. We're all in this together. And every gift is vital. And where there are gaps in the ranks, what is my gift? How can I be useful in the Lord's service? So here's the third point. Gifts must be used. Gifts must be used. Now, I've got to find out what my gift is. Once it's been discovered, it's there already in embryonic form. It's there. But you've got to find out what it is. We are not just to be content to slip silently into church, sit on the pew and listen, absorb, absorb, and then in the final hymn, go out, not interacting with anybody, and think, well, how blessed that was, and what a wonderful sermon, and to be filled, and then to go home and not come out again, maybe till the Wednesday, and then slip in and sit and listen, and then disappear again, and then come out the next Sunday. That's not what God intended. We are a family. We are a body. Now, in the family, children have to learn what their position is in the family. And we go up to Newtown, Mid Wales, and Ben and Kath were there 5. And Kath's got them whipped into shape. They know their jobs. They know their tasks. And I'd like to say it's like a well-oiled machine. It's not. It's a bit grumpy and grindy. But no, they know their tasks. We're a family. We're a body. We're a local church. We are to use the gifts that God has given to us. So back in Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, Let us use them. Let us use them. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25 and the parable of the talents, a well-known parable. Verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he had received 1, went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there. You have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servants, take from him the 1. Even that which he had will be taken from him. Talents, gifts are there to be used. There to be used. And fourthly, and I think we'll conclude with this this evening. From that parable of talents in particular, we can see this, that gifts differ in degree, in expression, and in effect. They differ in degree. During lockdown, it's been a difficult time. It's been a blessing, but every blessing can also be a curse if we misuse it. So initially in lockdown, lots of churches couldn't actually broadcast. And so members who stayed at home, maybe they get a CD delivered or some sort of video disc or something sent over email for them to read through or to watch a little snippet. So many went online and they would find a wonderful ministry around the world. You could go to America in the morning. You could go to Scotland in the evening, and many found men like Alistair Begg, and what a wonderful ministry the Scotsman who's in America has had there for this last 37 years. I think 1985 he went out to America, and many found him, and what a blessed ministry Alistair Begg has had. We can think back to men in our experience, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Gifts differ in degree. And yet there are other men up and down the valleys, very faithful men, labouring away, not seeing great blessing on their works. Gifts differing in degree. Some are 5 talent preachers, some are 2 talent preachers, some are 1 talent preachers, whatever they are to be used to the glory of God. Gifts will differ in their expression. So Wyn Hughes is the pastor here, and I am the assistant pastor, and we are both preachers of the gospel? Are Wyn and I the same?
No.
Oh, thank you. We're not. We're not. And I will not try to be Wyn. And Wyn will not try to be me. It was interesting at the elders' meeting back in, I forgot when it was now, was it early January? I met all the elders in the annex. And Wyn said, I think we'll complement each other very well. And I think we do. We're not the same. But we do complement each other. And by compliment, I don't mean we say thank you to each other, but we're different. There's a different expression of that same gift. And the same gift's going to have a different effect. Think again of preaching. Jeremiah, what a godly man there. Christ-like figure in the Old Testament. What success did he know in earthly terms? Well, very, very little. Then you come to the New Testament, there's Philip the evangelist, goes down to Samaria, and he preaches, and lots of people come to faith, and there's great joy in the city. In Wales, Daniel Rowlands, knowing great blessing in Llangeitho, and many thousands coming, they couldn't get in the church, he preached then in the open air in the churchyard. But there's a man I know very well who retired after 37 years of ministry in the east of Wales, faithful man, faithful, godly man. Little increase in the church, but I'm sure it'll be said to this gentleman by Jesus Christ, well done, good and faithful servant. You've used your gift to my glory and for the common good. So let's leave it there, I think, for this evening. Just to recap, every believer has gifts. The gifts that we have are for the common good and for the glory of God. Gifts must be used. Once we know what our gifts are, they must be used. But gifts can differ in degree, in expression, and in effect. What are you? Are you a five? Here's another thought as well. If you're a one talent person, if Jesus Christ has given you this one talent, what he expects from you is not five talents. Don't look at other people saying, oh, I wish I had. No, you have what you have and you use it to his glory. Use it. Don't bury it. Use it. Shine it up. Ask for his grace on it. We'll come on to that, God willing, in another section. Get gifts. Oh, we can have gifts. They can be used in a terrible way. They must be used graciously with a smile on our face to the glory of God. And we'll come on to that. But and if I'm a two-talent person, he doesn't expect five. If I'm a five, he doesn't expect two. We use what he's given to us by his grace to his glory. Well, let's pray briefly together. Yep. Yep. Are these ever interactive, these sessions, or are you just picking on me tonight?
I'm just picking on you.
Right, go on. Well, that's point number five. Yeah, that's point number five, and it's really, really important. How do I know my gift? So, yeah, thank you, Keith. I didn't think I'd get onto it tonight. I wanted to lay that platform. But it's important. There are, just a little preview, there are lists. I think it's helpful to go through those lists of gifts and to think about them prayerfully. I think to... if you're wondering, ask the elders of the church or ask your group leader or somebody who knows you well, what do you think my gifts are? And hopefully they can be honest with you. But these sorts of things we'll bring out, God willing, next time. Can I pray? Any other little questions that's provoked? Let's pray briefly. Father, thank you that you do speak to us and don't leave us wondering and scratching our heads. But in your word, there's sufficient for faith and for conduct. We pray as a body of your people here, a local expression of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head, we are the body. Help us to find out what gifts you've given to us. And may all the gifts be used to the common good and the glory of your name. We pray to your glory. Amen. Well, let's sing another hymn, and then we'll think about things to pray for this evening. It's one of my favourite hymns, number 780. My gracious Lord, I own thy right to every service I can pay and call it my supreme delight to hear thy dictates and obey. Stand and sing.